What should have been a good week in the House for John Key's National-led minority government turned into its worst since taking over the Treasury benches in 2008. Starting on Tuesday, when the Finance Minister's eighth budget was set to end its long journey from presentation on Thursday, May the 25th, the third and final reading of the Appropriation 2016-17 Estimates Bill was shunted aside after the Speaker, David Carter, granted a request from Labour's Deputy Leader and Health Spokeswoman, Annette King, for an urgent debate on contamination of drinking water in Havelock North.
2,000 people. When in the history of New Zealand have we had 2,000 New Zealanders go down with Campylobacter in one hit? I've never heard of it. This is a large-scale health crisis, and it does need urgent investigation by the government.
The Speaker agreed the situation met all the criteria for ordering the House to set aside its normal business, which on Tuesday was to begin with a first reading debate on a tax bill tightening up the regulation of foreign trusts in the wake of the Panama Papers.
The situation in Havelock North is a serious one. A debate is required. I call on the Honourable Annette King to move that the House take note of urgent matter
Thank
of public
Mr.
importance.
Mr. Speaker.
Mrs. King said she'd expected the government to inform the House about its response to the situation.
I am surprised that the Minister, the Acting Minister of Health, did not take the opportunity to stand in this House and make a ministerial statement about what is happening for the people of Havelock North. I waited. I thought the Minister would take the issue seriously enough that he would have stood and made a ministerial statement. That would have put into perspective what is happening. He could have set out what the Ministry of Health is doing.
With the Minister of Health, Jonathan Coleman, also the Minister for Sport and Recreation in Rio for the Olympics, responsibility for the government's response to Mrs. King fell to one of his associate ministers, Pazeta Sam Lotu-Inga.
It's a sad time to stand up here in the House, but it is important to show concern and not play politics like that member opposite who time and time again comes into this House to play politics with the lives of New Zealanders.
Mr. Lotu-Inga was back on his feet on Thursday after the Speaker accepted a request from Mrs. King to ask an extra question under Standing Order 388, which allows for urgent questions to be asked in the public interest.
It's to the Minister of Health. Will he now declare a drinking water emergency under the Health Amendment Act 2007 in light of reports that E. coli has been discovered in a water tanker from a Hastings water supply parked at a school in Havelock North?
The Honourable Pazeta Sam Lotu-Inga.
Mr. Speaker, on behalf of the Minister, no. I am advised that the local council is taking action and that the water supplies for Hastings and Flaxmere are now being chlorinated. The daily tests for those supplies have been clear.
The Associate Minister then moved to get the government back on the front foot.
I can also advise that the Minister, Jonathan Coleman, has confirmed there will be a government-initiated independent inquiry into the Havelock North water contamination issue. This will be a wide-ranging inquiry to ensure that all New Zealanders can feel confident about the quality of drinking water supplies.
Mrs. King then asked the one supplementary allowed for urgent questions.
So what would it take for the Minister of Health to declare a drinking water emergency, given that over 3,200 people now have been affected by gastric illness, and that the Mayor, Lawrence Yule, is saying that this latest result, quote, is a significant development we cannot explain?
Mr. Speaker.
The Honourable Pazeta Sam Lotu-Inga.
On behalf of the Minister, sir, I continue to be disgusted by the attitude of that member by playing politics with this issue.
Order, 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 order. I apologise for interrupting the Minister. I need to deal with a point of order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mine was a straight question, and he started his answer being disgusted by the fact that I've raised this issue in this House when he didn't.
Now we'll allow the Minister to complete his answer.
Well, I'm still disgusted, Mr Speaker, because this member plays politics when what is at issue here is the health and safety of those people in Havelock North and the Hawke's Bay. I visited the Hawke's Bay yesterday, and what the local people told me is they wanted their health services provided and they wanted accountability. And that's what this government is offering through this inquiry and the support that we're giving the local district council.
The Associate Health Minister Bazeta Sam Lotuinga on Thursday, the day the government's new spy agency legislation had its first reading, but which was preceded by the Speaker upholding complaints against the Prime Minister, John Key, arising from his attempt to correct a mistake in an answer to a question on Tuesday from New Zealand First Leader Winston Peters.
Mr Speaker, there are some people that come to New Zealand and claim refugee or asylum here in New Zealand. Those numbers are significantly less under this government than when the member asking the question was a minister. So this government's done a better job in that category.
Next day, Wednesday, when the government should have been basking in the glow of an earlier-than-expected ratification of the Paris Agreement on greenhouse gas emissions, Mr Peters had another question for the Prime Minister, asking him if he stood by all his statements.
Speaker, yes, with one clarification. When I said yesterday that numbers of people who come to New Zealand and claim refugee status or asylum are significantly less under this government than the Right Honourable Winston, when the Right Honourable Winston Peters was a minister, I should have said the proportion of claim was less.
Labor's Chief Whip Chris Hipkins complained that corrections should be made at the first available opportunity, drawing this response from the Leader of the House, Gerry Brownlee.
Mr Speaker, this was not a correction to an answer, it was a clarification of an answer. Quite a different matter, Mr Speaker.
Order. The Speaker, who had also received a complaint from Mr Peters in support of Chris Hipkins, returned to the subject on Thursday.
Having considered it very carefully overnight, I think they are both absolutely right. An incorrect answer to a question cannot be corrected or modified by way of clarification.
Previous speakers had ruled that corrections could only be made by way of personal explanation and should be made as soon as the minister became aware of the mistake.
In future, any attempt to correct an answer by way of clarification on a subsequent day will not be acceptable. And I want to thank the members who have raised this issue with me.
Then, on Tuesday, a major distraction that ran right through the week began with this from National backbencher Nook Karako.
Like every other member of this House, I'm at the mercy of the biscuit tin.
Mr Karako was responding to a series of questions from Labor MPs asking him, as the member responsible for the Airport Authority's publicising lost property sales amendment bill, what he was hoping to achieve with his members' bill, and why was he doing it now? The bill had been drawn from more than 70 others in the biscuit tin for last week's ballot, and Labor's questions were aimed at drawing attention to the fact that 30 of the proposed members' bills, or nearly half of the 75 currently in the ballot, are from National MPs. Not only do they reduce the chances of MPs from other parties having a win in the ballot, but when they're drawn and debated, they're effectively government bills, taking up some of the precious 3 or 4 hours allocated to members' bills every fortnight. Labor's Chief Whip Chris Hipkins suggested that the bill could easily be incorporated in one of the government's omnibus bills, amending a bunch of statutes, and he put this question to Mr Karako.
Can he confirm that no passengers are any more or less likely to lose their luggage as a result of his bill? And isn't this the type of carry-on that discredits the Parliament?
Complaints from Mr Hipkins and others about the time spent on debating the bill drew this response from the Leader of the House, Gerry Brownlee.
Mr Speaker, noticing that there has been a lot of public comment about the bill that has just been in question, and noting also that the Labor Party in particular has said that it could be done some other particular way, and in the last question expressed the time that the House is going to take over this, notwithstanding the fact that they've wasted half an hour this afternoon.
Can I have the point of order, please?
I wish to seek leave, Mr Speaker, for the Airport Authority's publicising lost property sales amendment bill to be read for a third time with a vote taken without debate forthwith.
Leave is sought for that course of action. Is there any objection? There is objection.
That objection came from Winston Peters, and Mr. Brownie will be back with a preview of the week ahead. But first, here's Rhys Lyon with his report on the week just passed in the committee rooms.
A petition calling for full funding of the melanoma drug Keytruda was presented to the Health Committee on Wednesday morning by its sponsor, Lisa Renwick, who acknowledged that since Parliament first received the petition in March, the government had decided to fund the medicine, though she criticised the country's drug funding model. Ms. Renwick, who had stage 4 melanoma before she began taking Keytruda, outlined to the committee the long process it had taken to get the drug funded.
Representatives from Pharmac repeatedly stated that this drug was not effective and that it was a low priority. The Minister of Health declined to meet with melanoma patients as he said he was unavailable. It was only when the petition began to gain media attention and melanoma sufferers spoke out and made the public aware of their personal stories that funding became available for an immunotherapy treatment.
Ms. Renwick called for an overhaul of the government's drugs funding agency, Pharmac.
Unless we make positive changes to our pharmaceutical purchasing model so that it steps into the 21st century with us, as a country, we are going to be left behind. And you can expect many more petitions and petitioners to arrive on the doorstep of Parliament House.
Lisa Renwick presenting that petition, signed by over 11,000 people, on the melanoma treatment drug Keytruda. Later on Wednesday morning, drugs of a completely different variety were the subject of consideration by the Health Committee as it heard submissions on a notice of motion seeking to reclassify the psychoactive drug NBOM. Ministry of Health officials told the committee that because of its level of harm, NBOM should be reclassified from being under the scope of the Psychoactive Substances Act to instead being classified under the Misuse of Drugs Act, which provides for stronger enforcement. After hearing from ministry officials, the committee heard from New Zealand Drug Foundation Executive Director Ross Bell, who sought to put the drug into context.
NBOMs are designed, they're a hallucinogenic drug, and so they're designed to mimic LSD. So often the time users don't know what they're taking. If they're used to having LSD and they have these things instead, they're not sure around the dosage. If you're used to having a couple of tabs of LSD and you have a couple of tabs of this, then you're going to find yourself in quite big problems.
Mr. Bell criticised the Ministry of Health's regulatory impact statement on the reclassification of the drug, saying it didn't address the impacts on drug users, who would potentially face criminal convictions if the law was changed. He also warned that the manufacturers of the drugs would strive to keep ahead of any law changes.
New substances, you schedule them in motor, the chemists tweak it. You know, I think we should anticipate, we would be foolish not to anticipate that. That's exactly what's going to happen here. Chemists always seem to stay a few steps ahead of lawmakers.
New Zealand Drug Foundation Executive Director Ross Bell speaking to the Health Committee on Wednesday. Meanwhile, on Thursday, the Local Government and Environment Committee heard submissions on a bill amending the Local Government Act 2002. One of those submissions came from Hutt City Council Mayor Ray Wallace.
We support the drive for better local services. However, the bill puts me in mind of Mark Twain's words. If I had more time, I would have written a much shorter letter. So we are concerned that the bill's objectives are somewhat blurred by unnecessary fuzzy requirements and language, unresolved contradictions and loosely prescribed processes on local self-determination.
Or put another way, by Greater Wellington Council Chairman Chris Laidlaw.
This bill is riddled with flaws and unintended consequences. It needs to be carefully reconsidered, this time in conversation with a local government community that is particularly incensed at its implications.
Mr. Laidlaw cited concerns about the bill's granting of wide-ranging powers for the Local Government Commission and changes to provisions around council-controlled organisations, which he said would diminish local democracy.
My council is therefore unable to support it in its current form. It needs significant work to provide a clear framework for the future.
Greater Wellington Regional Council Chairman Chris Laidlaw with that submission on the Local Government Act 2002 Amendment Bill to the Local Government and Environment Committee, which will continue hearing submissions on the bill in Auckland on Monday.
That's report from Rhys Lyon. Now for the Government's business statement from Gerry Brownlee.
When the House resumes on Tuesday, the 23rd of August, I intend to move the sitting of the House be extended from 9 a.m. on Wednesday, the 24th of August 2016, for the consideration of the committee stage of the smoke-free environments Tobacco Standardised Packaging Amendment Bill, the committee stage of the Judicature Modernisation Bill, and the second reading of the Statutes Amendment Bill, and that the House adjourn at 11:30 a.m. for the state luncheon honouring the service of the Right Honourable Lieutenant General Sir Gerry Matapirai as Governor General of New Zealand. The government will also complete the first reading of the Subordinate Legislation Bill and will look to progress a number of other bills on the order paper. Wednesday, the 24th of August, will be a Members' Day.
The Leader of the House, Jerry Brownlee. I'm Tom Fruin, and this programme was made with funding from Parliament.